Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
And you guys have a project going on. Steve, can you tell me a little bit about this collaboration?
For the last 3 years, the VCME has collaborated with poets. The first year was with David Budbill, and last year was Gene Connor. Vermont poets, I should say. Originally, it was a... we just wanted to have a concert where we played through short pieces without applause. And then sort of as an afterthought, we thought, well, let's see if we could have some sort of comment or some sort of verbal. How about poetry? And David Budbill came up right away because we know he's a terrific reader and we both know him personally. I say both. Myself and Dennis Bathory Kitts, the composer, we were sort of brainstorming this together. We called up David and he was free and willing. But at that point, we had already picked out the music. It was it was already composed by composers all over the country, short pieces. And the concert went off beautifully. So Sidney is our latest one. He was the poet laureate. I had not read his stuff before, but having seen that, I read his stuff. I was very intrigued by the fact that he was very sensitive to the wilderness, and I just liked the way he wrote. I gave him a call.
So who picked the poems? Did Sidney pick the poems?
Well, I sent I think more than will appear on the program, and then Steve perhaps in collaboration with others. You know, this is the first time we've met in the flesh, so though we've had a lot of email correspondence, I may be misspeaking myself here, but he can correct me. And then Steve winnowed the number I sent, not a lot more than will appear on the program, but a certain number. And it's just been a joy to have written these poems and then to sort of, in effect, sit back and wait to see the results. Now, I've only heard them in electronic format, but I'm already just completely thrilled with what's been done in response to my humble offerings.
It's amazing what these composers have come up with. I mean, the responses they've come up with. It's they're all very different, by the way, in terms of their musical personalities and what styles they want to write. And I don't say anything, you know. So we get some almost folkish type stuff, and we get, you know, some pretty I hate to use the word far out stuff, but stuff that's not so as accessible, perhaps. The audience will find though. That's not going to matter. They hear very inaccessible music on spooky movies all the time, and as long as it does something with the mood of the poem, and it seems to work beautifully.
So, Sidney, had you ever imagined your poetry inspiring a different art form or something more abstract?
Well, in fact, yes. I have a composer friend in New York City, a woman somewhat younger than I, named Stefania DeKennethy. And we talked for a long time about putting a song cycle together. And then I went overseas on a fellowship, and she had other commissions, and it never got off the ground.
That's a great point, actually. Why no vocalist, Steve? Why no singer?
Oh, nothing against. I love singers. I direct a choir, as a matter of fact. But I specifically wanted to not set the poems. I wanted the poems to be pure poetry, and I wanted the music to be pure music, and sort of separate the arts in that form, and I think perhaps it bring out their uniqueness more.
So do you think this makes poetry more accessible in a way because it gives people a different way of thinking about it, or is it just in terms of creating a larger piece that's sort of not poetry and not music?
Well, for me, I hope that all my poems are accessible to some degree. You know, I have no particular patience with obscurity for its own sake. It doesn't mean that you have to be simplistic in your subject matter, but there ought to be some way in which the reader is invited in and can say at least where he or she is and who's talking and where and why and so. And I hope that my poems, I've striven to make my poems do that.
I should add, I was very careful in choosing the poet that it be poetry that could be that would be fairly accessible upon first hearing. I want the audience to basically get it, or at least get some idea from it. and then hear the music, and of course get it too. Although I did not, some of our music has been, you know, like I said, pretty far out and pretty inaccessible by itself. But yet, somehow combined with the drama of the poetry, it somehow becomes very accessible. That's very exciting to me, that idea.
Well, I think, an important point about what you were saying, Sydney, is that it is really translatable to how people hear contemporary music as well. You know, you have a visceral response, and it is pretty abstract, and it does take you somewhere.
One of the joys of contemporary music, if I can go on a little bit of a tangent here, one of the things I get excited about is that it's composers that are living and breathing the same air that we live and breathe. I mean, Beethoven, you know, lived in, you know, 18th century Vienna. It's a totally different world. Yet his music is great enough to certainly communicate to us. Don't get me wrong. Not to belittle a master here.
It's also very interesting how our notions of the far out modify themselves over time. I've just turned 70, so I'm revealing a certain dated quality to this observation. But when I was in college, and we began to read contemporary poets, more or less contemporary poets like Wallace Stevens, it was just beyond us, you know. And we really, I had a fabulous teacher who kind of taught me how to read Wallace Stevens. Now, if I take Wallace Stevens into a classroom, most of the students have adjusted somehow. It's a mysterious thing, but the culture has changed and accommodated that significantly. We all know what happened when the Rite of Spring was performed. There were riots. There was bloodshed. Now it's considered part of the canon. You know, there's a lot more radical stuff going on all the time, and that's always been true. I think it was Picasso who said, the truly new is always ugly at first.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that when you were speaking, it reminded me of one of your a bit from your poem, just the very end of Talk, which is the first piece on this weekend's concerts. The very end.
Second piece, I think.
Oh, yeah. Second?
It is the second, yeah.
Excuse me very much. it ends with, "But prompt my gladness too at what's reborn with every single same old brand new day."
Yeah.
I love that line.
Thank you. Thank you. It's sense that it's comforting in its familiarity, but it's also sustaining in its daily novelty. I mean, I feel that living where I do, and that's a great blessing. There are a lot of people who don't feel that way at all in the world, as we all know.
Vermont poet Sydney Lee and Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble director, artistic director, and clarinetist, wonderful clarinetist, Steve Klimowski. It has been such a pleasure to have you guys in the studio. Can't wait to hear the concerts this weekend. And thank
Neither
you so
can
much.
I.
Neither can I.